glacial ice, then the darkness of pre-dawn, followed by the gold of the setting sun. The last color Richter could see was the rich yellow of marigolds in spring. The cocoon continued to unravel, and more spheres floated free. These had only one color each, however, either black, gold, blue, or yellow, and were smaller than the first. The globes continued to float free of the cocoon one after the other until 101 spheres floated in the air in front of the quickening. The silver threads of the silky nest piled on the ground beneath the branch that had held it. The tendril withdrew back into the canopy, and the loud creaking began again as the helical trunk of the celestial tree moved back into its original position. Silence reigned once again. The first and largest sphere began to vibrate. Then, with a barely audible pop, the top of the ball disappeared. All that was left was the bottom of the globe and the figure that knelt upon it. The pixie was clad in a silver dress that contoured to her small body. It was neither demure nor provocative. It was simply perfect. The pixie stood and faced the villagers, and Richter realized with a shock that he was looking at Alora. He easily recognized her face, but she had changed. When she had initially been released from the chrysalis, she had the softer features of a girl on the cusp of womanhood. She had also been 6 inches tall, and her skin was the color of ripe blueberries. That did not describe the creature that now stood before him. Alora now had the refined features of a woman. She stood a foot tall, and her skin was a smooth silver. Smooth white hair fell straight and full down her back until it reached her knees. It was not the white of age, but rather a freshly fallen snow. Her four wings extended behind her, and all present could see that each wing was the color of one of the lights that had come from the cocoon. Her eyes opened, and the blue sclera he remembered were replaced by the creamy white of the quickening's leaves. The irises remained violet, but were now a purer purple than Richter could ever recall seeing before. Each villager instinctively knew what they were seeing. They had witnessed the rebirth of a queen. Richter continued to look at his companion, unsure as to what would happen now. When they had first met, Alora had been a frightened girl, but this woman floating in the air above him was something else entirely. This was a ruler. A cynical part of him began to wonder if he had actually done the right thing by allowing her to bind to his celestial tree. Had he just given up ownership of his own place of power? Richter hated that his pragmatism and insecurity was marring such a wonderful and pure moment, but this was who he was. Doubt and suspicion started to worm their way even deeper into his heart, but then she locked eyes with him and smiled. Her smile was not that of a conqueror or a usurper. It was the smile of a friend who had missed his face. Richter chided himself silently for his weakness and fear. Her simple expression of affection halted his downward emotional spiral. Then she began to sing, and he knew in his heart that he would never doubt her again. Alora's wings beat, and she rose into the air, leaving the remains of the sphere behind. It faded away, and she hovered in the air as her song enspelled everyone present. It began as a haunting melody. As before, her song had no words, but they were not needed. When she had first spoken to Richter after being released from her chrysalis, her voice was like the piping notes of a piccolo. Now, however, her singing was the smooth tones of a soulful flute. She sang of her mother, of forlorn loss, and of a daughter's love that stretched through the centuries. Her voice grew deeper, and it spoke of loneliness. She had awoken, alone in a world that had turned strange, bereft of family or comfort. There was another soft pop, and a second sphere opened. A pixie knelt on the remains of the sphere and unfurled her wings. Her skin was silver like Alora's, but her wings and hair were pitch black. Unlike her queen, she was only 6 or 7 inches tall. Her face and body were that of a young girl, and she was wearing a simple silver slip. Her eyes opened, and he saw that they were a pale lavender. The pixie's wings beat, and she rose into the air, the remains of her spear fading away, the same as Alora's had. She flew to hover behind her queen, and her soprano voice rose to match her queen's cool alto. The two pixies did not sing alone for long. More spheres faded away, and each gave birth to pixies who joined the song. All were silver-skinned and clothed in either silver slips or pants. They all looked like young teens, and as more were birthed, it became clear that there were four basic groups. Some had raven hair, like the first of Alora's brood that had been born, but others had shining golden hair with wings like translucent gold foil. Another type had curly blue hair with white tips, giving the appearance of waves breaking on a shore, and their wings were made of a thin blue gel material. The last type were blondes, and their pale yellow wings softly diffused the light that passed through the delicate membranes. The males were 1 or 2 inches taller than the females, but of the 100 new pixies born, only 20 were men. Each pixie born raised their voice to sing with their queen. Beneath the silver-white boughs of the quickening, the mist villagers watched and listened in awe as the pixies created a miracle of music. More emotionally charged than any music Richter had ever heard before, his emotions reflected the song. The leaves of the quickening began to vibrate, adding a subtle hum to the pixies' chorus. Alora led her people to sing of the history of her people, of endless miles of carefully tended forest, and of a race selflessly devoted to life. Her voice rose in jubilation as she sang wordlessly of a people reborn and of a future bright with promise. Tears rolled down Richter's face as his heart was filled with the beauty of hope. Though neither he nor any of the villagers were aware of it, the song changed them all. Everyone present relaxed, and their faces smoothed as some of the worries of the years fell away. Richter smiled and shared joyous looks with his people as they watched the pixies sing of the past, present, and future. Everyone present made a silent vow to do whatever was necessary to safeguard this new and fragile race. The pixies' voices crescendoed, and one at a time they ceased their song. First Alora, then the rest grew silent, one at a time. The harmony they created still hung in the air, though. The lingering peals of a church bell and the leaves of the quickening continued to vibrate ever so slightly in counterpoint. Alora and the rest smiled down at the villagers. Prompts began to obscure Richter's vision. Hark and rejoice! A new race has been born to the land. The union of Alora, the royal pixie queen, and the quickening has created celestial pixies. A celestial race has once again made its home on this plane. Enemies of good will shake in fear this day, while avatars of purity will rejoice. Congratulations! You have won plus 7,000 fame points. Your actions have directly led to the creation of the celestial pixies. Congratulations, you have advanced to reputation level 4. You are a man worthy of respect. New quests and opportunities will now become available to you. Know this, your presence at the birth of the first celestial pixies and hearing their song of joy and remembrance has changed you and all others who witnessed this blessed event. The song will hang in the air for 1 month and will affect all who hear it in the following ways. -5% lifetime ability to deal damage for all present with a negative alignment. +5 to charisma for all present with at least a 0 alignment. +5 to luck for those present with at least +1 alignment. -5% mana cost for those present with at least a +2 alignment. +5 to intelligence for those present with at least a +3 alignment. Quest update. Tree of Power 3. To increase the level of a celestial tree requires more than sun and rain. Goodness and virtue are also necessary to increase the vigor of the quickening. Involving it in the birth of a new celestial race has greatly increased its progress towards level 3. Continue to involve it in such births to reach its next iteration. Being in the presence of celestial beings will also increase this growth. Know this. Pixies are born of the union of pixie females and trees. The close bond of the quickening with your place of power has told in its progeny. Each pixie born will be linked to at least one of the basic elements. The celestial nature of these pixies also increases the chance of birthing a new royal pixie. You have completed the quest Resurgence of Life 3. Your diligence and hard work have resulted in the birth of a new race. You have protected Alora and her progeny while they have grown, and they have been transformed into celestial pixies. Your generosity in allowing Alora to bind to the quickening has paid dividends for the land and also for you. Reward. All celestial pixies have a high regard for you. Baseline relationship trusted. Reward. Increased relationship with Alora, the celestial pixie queen. Relationship has increased from loyal to ally. Reward. 12,500 experience. Bonus reward. Your people have once again been present at the emergence of a celestial event. All villagers present receive 2,000 experience. Bonus reward. Your relationship with everyone present at the birth of the celestial pixies is improved by one level. Know this. Your efforts have drastically aided the development of your people. Change in morale is doubled in light of your generosity with the potions of clarity. Morale increased by plus 500, base 250. The morale of your village has increased from plus 174, base 151, plus 5% health, plus 7% Richter administrative skill, to 755. Morale rank increased from neutral, 0, to happy, plus 250. Your guidance has made the general mood of your village increase, plus 10% to population growth, plus 10% to productivity, plus 10% to fighting spirit. Change in loyalty is doubled in light of your generosity with the potions of clarity. Loyalty increased by plus 500, base 250. The loyalty of your village has increased from plus 215, base plus 192, plus 5% health, plus 7% Richter administrative skill, to plus 801, neutral, 0, to dependable, plus 250. You have shown yourself to be a capable leader and exemplify ideals they believe in. Your people are not just a collection of individuals anymore. They have a common goal, plus 20% to productivity. Know this, the Song of Joy and Remembrance has caused many of your people to now be dedicated to the Celestial Pixies. Any betrayal or serious damage to their ranks could negatively impact the loyalty of your people. Know this, more than 90% of your people had increased their charisma by plus 5, plus 5% bonus to population growth. Richter was stunned by the massive amount of prompts. He shuffled through them quickly. Each was important, and he couldn't wait to get to the next. A quick check of his status page showed that his charisma had indeed increased by 5 points. Even more importantly, though, there was a new race. He had hoped that the pixies might gain some sort of power from being linked to the quickening, but he hadn't expected that they would evolve. Richter used Analyze on one of the black pixies. Name unknown. Race celestial pixie. Disposition trusted. Pixies have always been a force of good in the land. Peaceful by nature, but deadly when necessary, the forest and plants of this world flourished under their care. The union of Queen Alora and the Quickening has created the race of celestial pixies. Celestial pixies are bound to at least one of the powers that comprise the Mist Village's place of power. This pixie is bound to dark magic. The customary magical attack of the pixie is now augmented by this magic and can cause momentary blindness. Magical attacks will increase in power with character leveling, and extra effects may be added. The evolved state of these pixies results in extra points to distribute per level. Celestial pixies receive 2 points to distribute per level, and each level gives plus 3 to dexterity, plus 1 to agility, and plus 1 to intelligence, unlike their predecessors, which received 1 point to distribute per level, and plus 2 to dexterity, and plus 1 to agility. Celestial pixies, like their predecessors, receive a racial boost to movement speed. Level 1. Health, 30. Mana, 110. Stamina, 50. Strength, 2. Agility, 12. Dexterity, 13. Constitution, 3. Endurance, 5. Intelligence, 11. Wisdom, 10. Charisma, 12. Luck, 10. Richter's eyes bulged. The Celestial Pixies got 7 points per level. Just like the angel Hisako had summoned once, he could see that beings of higher planes were in a different league than those who lived on this plane. The small flyer's dexterity and agility were high for only being level 1. On the other hand, her strength, constitution, and endurance were abnormally low. It confused Richter for a second until he remembered the conversation he had had with Sion about characteristic modifiers based on size. It then made perfect sense that such a tiny creature would have lower hit points and strength and have a higher agility. It meant that as the pixies leveled, their speed would be truly amazing. On the other hand, even if they added every free point to constitution, their health might not break 100. He also realized that the characteristics were probably lower because he was analyzing a child. Her stats might be higher when she was fully grown. What was the magical attack that was referenced, though? Richter used Analyze on the other types of pixies. Their stats were basically the same, though the strength and constitution of the males were usually a point higher. The pixies with the blue wings had an attack that slowed enemies, and the pixies associated with air magic had a chance to stun opponents. The gold pixies were associated with life magic. Their attack had no extra effect, but apparently they had a second ability to heal. The more he learned, the more one particular question started spinning through Richter's head. Where could he get more celestial pixies? The pixies had just been hovering after their song ended, as caught up in the emotions of the song as the villagers had been. They seemed to come out of their reverie all at once, however, and they let loose peals of joy. 100 small voices seemed to speak at once as the pixies greeted their brothers and sisters and paid respect to their queen. Richter couldn't follow the conversation of all of the small creatures at once, but he could at least understand pixie speak, unlike most everyone else present. He smiled bemusedly as he was able to zero in on individual conversations. He discovered that though the pixies might look like teens, their babble was that of 10-year-old children. The pixie children kept asking each other if one had seen this person or another had smelled that scent. It struck Richter that he was watching a race experience the world for the first time. Everyone else just gazed at them in amazement. As they flew about, trails of sparkles were left behind like an afterimage that faded a moment later. Richter's gaze was brought back to his companion. Elora began flying towards him, and he accessed her status page. Looking at her page raised far more questions than answers. The first thing that piqued his curiosity was her advanced level. If he remembered correctly, she had only been level 7 when she entered the cocoon. Now Elora was level 16. Had she really been able to gain 9 levels just from being his companion as he completed quests? Richter thought about it and realized that she must have gained over 120,000 experience since she had emerged from the chrysalis. He shook his head slightly in bemusement at his own industriousness. She stopped to hover before him. Before Richter could speak, one more prompt appeared. Know this, your companion Elora has completed a quest, Revival 1. Your companion had been given the impossible task of reviving her species. She has succeeded beyond the expectations of any god or goddess that might still observe the land, and she was rewarded appropriately. As her companion, you will receive the same experience reward. Reward, 93,750 experience. Richter's mouth dropped open. Judging by Elora's startled expression, the massive amount of experience was a surprise to her as well. It was the first time that he regretted using his talent point conversion. Once she got over her shock, he watched her face firm with a decision made.
My Lord Richter, she began with her musical voice, you have kept me and my people safe. You are a man of honor and strength. In this new world, my people and I will need the strength of a ruler such as you. Will you accept us into your tribe? Will you accept our oaths of fealty?
Richter hadn't known what his companion would say, but it wasn't that. He looked at the celestial being in surprise. You are welcome to reside in my village forever, Elora. You do not need to swear fealty to me to make this true. Elora raised her voice and spoke clearly in pixie speak. All of her chattering children ceased what they were doing and flew down to hover behind her. Alora descended until she was only an inch above the ground, and then to his surprise, she landed. The graceful creature then knelt and bowed her head. All of her progeny landed as well, and they formed a triangle fanning out behind their queen. Richter went down on one knee to help her up, but before he could, she started speaking again in common.
I, Alora, Queen of the Celestial Pixies, formally swear allegiance and loyalty to you, my Lord Richter. From now until my very death, I will protect you and your interests to the best of my ability and without deceit. Furthermore, I swear my line to you, my Lord Richter. Until another queen is born to make choices of her own, I ask that you protect my people, and in my absence, guide them. We will live and fight under your command.
Alora, the Celestial Pixie Queen, formally swears fealty to you. More than that, however, she has sworn her entire clan and bloodline to your service until another queen is born, who will make decisions of her own with her progeny. The entire meadow was silent. The people of the Mist Village held their breath as they watched a queen kneel before their lord. Richter felt the weight of their attention, but he also felt something else. The air was heavy with possibility. It felt like he could feel the fulcrum of the universe balancing in that moment of time. This was a moment. It might even be a moment. What he did and said next might change the fate of worlds. He could refuse her pledge. Part of him felt that he ought to do just that. Alora was only 17 years old, after all. She felt bereft and alone in the world. Maybe he shouldn't trust the impulsive decision of a lonely child, queen or not. Richter searched his heart. There were 1,000 reasons why he shouldn't accept, and 1,000 why he should. All of these arguments spun through his head in that frozen moment in time. Ultimately, he just stayed true to who he was. He was a man who would rather live his life by what he hoped to be true rather than what he feared to be true. Words rose from something inside of him and spilled out into the land. I accept your oath of fealty and swear to honor your pledge with the same gravity in which it was given. I swear to do my utmost to preserve your line and clan. If any raise a hand against you, I will strike that hand from their body. If any raise arms against you, my blade shall take their life. If any set their will against you, I will break their mind and soul. As it happened before, Richter felt that he was merely the conduit for these words. These were not merely words. They were the spoken component to a spell older and more powerful than any he had ever cast. He had bound the fate of a fledgling race to his will and power. Only time would tell if he had furthered the cause of good or evil. As that thought crossed his mind, a small voice inside asked, "Was there not a third option?" The pixies rose back into the air and started chatting again, but this time they were joined by the villagers, who oohed and aahed and fawned over the tiny celestial beings. Richter and his flying companion just looked at one another and shared a moment of camaraderie, a calm island in the sea of noise around them. Richter was about to start peppering the queen with questions, but then something fascinating occurred. Sion walked past everyone, moving towards the trunk of the quickening. Above him floated a male pixie. His wings were yellow with air magic, and he looked down at the sprite as he flew. The distance between them decreased as the pixie lost elevation until the two were eye to eye. Richter watched his friend, curious as to what was happening. Without ceremony, Sion went down on one knee. The sprite cupped his hands in front of his face, and the pixie landed in them. The yellow-winged man reached out and placed his hands on Sion's temples before he leaned forward until their foreheads touched. Sion spoke a phrase in sprite speak that had the cadence of ritual. The pixie responded in his own language, and a silver egg sprung into existence around the two of them. The bottom of the oval spheroid was buried in the ground, giving the shell that marked where Richter's best friend had stood the solidity of an obelisk. All the Chaos Seed could do was stare into the reflective surface and wonder at his friend's last words. I accept my fate. Chapter 29, Day 112, Kuborn 2, 15,368 EBG. Richter was alarmed and was starting to run over until Alora's small hand touched his face. He looked at her, and she told him not to worry.
"It is the Maidan,"
she said. Richter had to actively engage his gift of tongues ability to understand the concept she spoke of, but after a moment, he knew she was speaking of the Fate Bond. She went on to explain that one of the Pixie's racial abilities was Fate's Companion. It apparently created a lifelong and irrevocable bond between the Pixie and their Metu Maidan, the sprite that held the other part of their destiny. The bond was intense and eternal, apparently stronger than the companion bond he already had with his friend. He remembered when Hisako had first spoken of the Pixie race several months ago. She had said that every sprite was born with half of a destiny, and that a Pixie possessed the other half. The Chaos Seed had thought the Hearth Mother had been speaking in hyperbole, but apparently not. Inside the sphere, Sion and the Pixie were creating a bond forged of their very souls. Alora assured him that his friend would emerge stronger than before. "When will he come out?" Richter asked. He walked towards the silvery shell, but stopped short of touching it. Other villagers had noticed the shining egg and were coming over to inspect it as well. Alora floated up beside him and gently placed a hand on the shell with a smile on her face.
"The Maidan will end when they are both ready. You do not need to fear, my lord. Chateau Maidan?"
"Fate Bond Shell," Richter translated silently.
"Are normally very strong. With the essence of the quickening involved, I imagine they will be quite safe until the bonding is complete."
Richter still didn't like the idea of his best friend being sealed away from the world, but excited exclamations caught his attention and made him look to the right. One of the Pixie guards had gone down on one knee, and a gold Pixie was flying down into his hands. Richter could see that it was the same guard that said he had heard voices. As soon as the Pixie alighted, she placed her forehead against his, and another silver shell sprung into existence. The remaining sprite guard looked around in disappointment, but no other Pixies came down to join with him. There was one more Maidan to be created, though. Sumiko came running up to the quickening, faster than Richter would have thought possible. She didn't even seem to see any of the villagers around her. Before anyone could say anything, she knelt, said the words, and bonded with a life Pixie. Another silver shell popped into existence.
"WTF!" Richter thought with irritation and alarm. How could she just bind to a Pixie like that without talking to him first? What if there were more undead to fight? What if someone got seriously hurt? What if...
Richter suddenly stopped his mental recriminations of the woman when he realized how he sounded. He just finished his last thought with, "What if he just puts his big boy pants on and made do until she finished her transformation?" He shook his head at his own panic. When had he become so dependent on the sprite? He supposed that was how it worked in any world, though. One moment a woman is yelling at you, the next, you can't live without her. Several dozen Pixies did start to crowd around Alora. They spoke in Pixie speak, faster than even Richter could understand, and they looked agitated. For some reason, the existence of the silver shells had triggered something in some of the Pixie children. One of the life Pixies started flying away from the tree, but a sharp word from Alora brought the child back into the throng surrounding her. Her offspring continued to speak in excited and stressed tones, which was strange because dozens of others seemed not at all concerned and continued to play with the villagers. Three were even chasing Alma around, though they weren't fast enough to catch her yet. Alora listened for a few more moments. Then, with the special irritation ability all mothers are born with, she spoke sharply. One Pixie had started to fly away. Her children quieted as she continued to speak, and they started hanging their heads, cowed. Richter smirked a bit. The loose translation was, "You will do as I say. You will not leave this village without permission. You will regret it if you try." The last thing she said was somewhat confusing, though.
"I will ask him. Yes, now."
Then she shooed them away with her hand. It was quite comical to see 7-inch-tall creatures hanging their heads as they slowly floated away. If they didn't have wings, he was sure they would be shuffling their feet. The chastised pixie children flew back several yards, and for some reason, they all started staring at him. The other pixies continued to play with the villagers, much to his people's delight. Alora came forward, and her expression was intent. Richter was still smiling, but his grin slipped a bit.
"What is it?"
he asked.
"My lord, I am sorry to ask a boon of you so soon after swearing my loyalty, but there is a problem,"
she began to explain. When she was done, a quest prompt appeared. "You have been offered a quest, Fate's Companion 1. Some of the Celestial Pixies can feel their Metume Dawn through their ability, Fate's Companion. They wanted to leave the safety of the Quickening immediately and search for the sprites they would bond with, but Alora wisely has forbidden that. The Queen cannot ignore the needs of her people, however, nor can she refuse to honor one of the core facets of Pixie nature. She has told you that the birth of the Celestial Pixies from the cocoon sent a signal through the land. Sprites that have a Pixie Metume Dawn waiting for them will be drawn to this position. Queen Alora asks that you do what you can to safely bring the sprites to the village. You will be rewarded for each Maidon that is successfully created. Reward unknown. Do you accept? Yes or no?" Richter accepted the quest. No matter what Alora had asked, he would have said yes, but inside he was gnashing his teeth. Sprites were natural woodsmen, so he didn't really have too much fear about them making their way safely through the forest. The problem would happen when the sprites got to the mists. Richter couldn't rely on the sprites' sense of their pixie Metume Dawn to bring them safely to the village. Confusing mists was a spell created to do exactly what it said. Even if you thought you were putting one foot in front of the other, the mists would lead you astray. "Is there anything you can do to help me find these sprites?" he asked his companion. "I will do what I can, but the mists around us cover more than 300 square miles."
"My children will be able to sense the general direction of their Metume Dawn when they are close, my lord Richter. The ones that were speaking to me can feel their counterparts, so they must be relatively close. The one that tried to fly off told me that her Metume Dawn was very close, and in that direction."
She gestured to the south.
"My other children say that their Metume Dawn are approaching."
Richter's eyes followed the direction of her pointed arm leading into the forest. The pitch black forest. The one full of monsters. The one where a lone sprite might be lost in at that very moment. After a deep sigh and a mental query of why things could never just be easy, Richter shook his sleepy, ale-addled head and said, "Let's do this." Chapter 30, Day 112, Caborn 2, 15,368 EBG. At his command, Tirad and Calder started to get together their best fighters. Richter told them to choose people that had both speed and endurance. This was going to be a surgical operation. They would find the sprite, add him to the war party, and haul ass back to the safety of the village. He specified that everyone needed to be clear-headed. Richter himself had had an ale or seven, but his high constitution had already filtered out most of the effects. For the first time, Quasia stepped forward and volunteered to help. The dark magic adept said that there was no better time for her to offer aid. Richter wasn't about to argue. Besides, he thought, she was right. Only two distant moons were present in the sky, and neither were full. He simply thanked her and sent her to stand with Tirad. Zar also stepped forward and told Richter he had a spell that could increase the speed of a group going through the forest.
"My child can guide you with better accuracy as she gets closer,"
Alora said.
"We will both go with you."
Richter shook his head. "I wish I could refuse the help of both of you, but I will need your child to have any chance of finding the sprite. You, however, cannot come, Alora."
"Lord Richter,"
the queen said in a stern but high voice,
"I will not allow my newly born offspring to go into danger without me. Pixie young are born with some inherent memories, and so are not as helpless as most newborns. But they are still children. They are without guile. I can't let my daughter go into such danger without me."
Richter looked at Alora, forcing himself to listen and not just speak without considering her viewpoint. She made a valid argument. He knew next to nothing about pixies in general, let alone pixie children. The fact remained, the queen was ignoring the more important issues. "Alora, I understand what you are saying. This is your child, and you take her safety seriously. She nodded earnestly. Richter pointed up. Then what about them? All of your other children need you as well. They need you now. He sighed, but didn't shy from what he said next. The other point, though, is that you cannot risk yourself. Your children are precious, but you and you alone are the key to the survival of your entire race. If you die, then pixies vanish from the face of the land. You must stay here. Elora opened her mouth to argue again, but Richter beat her to the punch. If you die, the quickening dies as well. The queen's mouth snapped shut, and tears welled in the corner of her luminous eyes. For the first time since emerging from the cocoon, Richter saw the young girl that the queen still was.
I have to protect my daughter. That is what a queen does. My mother gave her life for me.
He wished he had time to comfort her, but the forest was full of danger, and a lone sprite was lost in them. Protect all of your children, Queen Elora, Richter said formally. As your liege, I order you to safeguard them while I search with your daughter for her Metu Maidan. This is my command. He felt like an absolute shit speaking to the vulnerable woman like this, but maybe the best thing he could do for her was to give her an escape hatch from her guilt. The Pixie Queen's face firmed, and despite the tears rolling down her cheeks, she replied just as formally,
As you command, my lord.
Elora called to the life pixie girl that had tried to fly off on her own. The child came and hovered in front of her mother.
You will obey Lord Richter immediately and without fail. Find your Metu Maidan and return immediately to the quickening. I name you Yura.
Richter's ability translated the name as Seeker.
I will take care of her, Richter said.
Elora nodded and corralled the rest of her children towards the silver trunk of the quickening. A few seconds later, they had all disappeared into the leafy canopy. The Chaos Seed walked over to the captain of his guard, and Yura floated along behind him. Before he spoke to the captain, he looked at Alma. Your main job is to keep her safe, he told his familiar, indicating Yura.
I will see her back safely to the Quickening Master.
I know you will, my love, he thought back.
Yura, you will stay with Alma the entire time. If things become dangerous, you will ride her back to the village, even if we have not found your Metu Maidan. The pixie girl bowed her head, and in a small voice spoke in pixie speak.
Yes, Uncle Richter.
His heart twinged at hearing her small voice. What was he doing? Was he really taking a newly born child out into the wild at night? He shook his head. Elora would not have asked him to do this if it wasn't necessary. Richter supposed he could understand if these two were truly bound by fate. What would it mean if one of them died? Would either of their lives have meaning afterward? Richter focused on the task at hand. He gave a command before addressing his war party, and it was for Roswan. Richter told him to build defensible walls at the top and bottom of the hill leading up to the meadow. It had been in the back of his mind to do that for some time in light of the many valuable areas that were in the glade. The scath eggs, the dragon's cauldron, the crystal garden, the quickening, and now the pixies. If Richter could have put the Forge of Heavens in the meadow as well, he would have. The builder answered with his customary nonplussed grum. Richter took that as assent. The Chaos Seed turned his attention to the group his captain had assembled. Tirad, Calder, Yulindi, Quasia and Zar stood next to two hunters with bows and two other guards in leather armor with maces at their waists and shields slung on their backs. He already saw one problem. Calder, there is no way you will be able to keep up with the pace I'm going to set with the medium armor you wear, let alone with that vault door you call a shield. I don't have time to argue. Besides, I need you to stay here and organize strike parties for tomorrow. I have a feeling we are going to be getting a great deal of company over the upcoming days, and we will need teams to do double time to escort pixies and then bring sprites back safely. Hearing the firm tone in his liege's voice, Calder merely saluted and walked off to bark orders at his fellow guards. Richter quickly analyzed the others and saw that one of the guards with maces was still level 5. He told her to stay as well. Then he checked both swords in their scabbards. Looking around at everyone else, he brought them into his war party. Then he took off at a fast jog. Behind him, Randolphus carefully gathered up the silver threads of the cocoon. Richter sent out a mental call before he got to the village gate. He jogged through, the war party running past the sentries who stood at attention with fists covering their hearts. They whispered to each other afterwards, and one said he felt sorry for whoever and whatever had stirred their lord's ire in the middle of the night. The war party stopped at the inside of the second trench. They clustered together and Quasia cast a concealment and a high-level dark vision spell on them while Zar cast strong forest travel. The very darkness of the night cloaked them from view, and their movement speed increased by 50% as long as they stayed within the AoE of both spells. Richter gave both adepts 3 mana potions each, and then they took off. His adder and familiar kept pace beside him as he led the party. Miles flew by. The adepts periodically updated their buffs. One of the benefits to working with higher-level magic users was that each knew enough spells that they could cast another similar spell while they waited for their stronger spells' cooldowns to elapse. Yura took up position in Richter's fallen hood, and she whispered directions to him. Alma scouted ahead. Twice the Dragonling had them alter course slightly, the first time to avoid a pack of gray scorpions that were the size of cats, the second time to skirt a shambling humanoid with long arms and overly developed muscles. Richter knew he would have to go out again tomorrow and attempt to hunt these things down, but tonight was about finding the sprite. While they traveled, Richter dealt with a series of prompts that he had yet to address. Your village has grown by leaps and bounds. Another 101 sentients have been added to your population, increasing it to 667. Never forget, there are consequences to your actions. The following adjustments have been made to your village values. Average morale has decreased from +755 to +641. Average loyalty has decreased from +801 to +679. No change in morale or loyalty ranks. After 8 miles, Yura grew excited and said she could feel that they were close. The war party ran down a hill and saw the sprite. It was immediately apparent to Richter that she was different from the sprites he had seen before. The people of the Hearth Tree celebrated nature and lived in the forest, but they were civilized and structured. This woman looked almost like a wild creature. Her hair was gnarled, and she wore animal skins of various colors. She had a bow in her hand, and an arrow nocked. The weapon was pointed in the direction of the war party. It was clear that she could not see them, either due to the natural darkness, Quasia's spell, or the mists, but she had heard them. A blue nimbus surrounded the arrow as she charged it with her magic. Richter motioned for everyone to stop. He took cover behind a tree, and the other party members did the same. "We are friends," he called out in sprite speak. "I have brought your mate to Maidan." At his words, a visible relief crossed her face, but she was still not wholly convinced.
"I cannot see you."
"Put down your weapon and I will come out to meet you. My name is Richter, and I am the lord of these lands. I have brought a war party to bring you to safety, but we cannot linger. The woods are not safe at night." She hesitated for a moment longer, but then discharged her arrow at a nearby boulder. A large boom sounded, and a few stone chips flew, but otherwise there was no harm done. Though the sprite's skill imbue arrow was impressive, once the mana was committed, the arrow had to be shot. That meant that any bad beasties out there now knew their position. Richter had Quasia dismiss their concealment, and he selected the sprite female and gave her immunity to the mists. Analyze showed that her name was Moessa. What was interesting was that her race was forest sprite, not wood sprite. Name, Moessa. Race, forest sprite. Disposition, neutral. Forest sprites have the same reverence for nature as their cousins, the wood sprites, but to a greater degree. They cherish unbroken wilderness and strive to live within the natural order of life. More solitary than other sprites, forest sprites can often forge bonds with animals. Forest sprites get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +2 to dexterity. Age 23, level 7, 39%, health 150, mana 78 of 100, stamina 140, strength 12, agility 15, dexterity 29, constitution 15, Endurance, 14. Intelligence, 10. Wisdom, 11. Charisma, 9. Luck, 9.
Moessa, Richter greeted her when she was able to see him. I have someone who wants to meet you. This is Yura.
The golden pixie flew from out of his hood and towards the forest sprite. Moessa's face took on an expression of wonder, and she started to go down on one knee. Richter strode forward and quickly grabbed her arm. The sprite looked at him in hostility, and one hand reached toward a hilt at her belt.
We don't have time for this, Richter said in sprite speak. There is plenty of time for the Maidan once we are safe. I cannot risk Yura being out in the wilds any longer.
The sprite's face calmed, and she nodded.
This is wisdom. I am certain something has been stalking me.
Richter's eyes widened, and he looked around. Then let's not waste any more time. I'm going to bring you into my war party. Do you assent? She nodded, and he brought her into the last position in the war party. Quasia reestablished their dark magic concealment, and they took off. Yura wanted to fly next to her Metu Maidan, but a firm word from Richter was all it took for the pixling to go back into his hood again. With Alma leading, they were able to avoid any attacks and safely made it back to the village. The journey had taken several hours, but they had been successful. Richter left the adder outside of the walls again, telling it to hunt and keep guard, and led the forest sprite up to the quickening. He was somewhat unsure about leading a stranger to the celestial tree, but he decided to put faith in the pixie's cosmic bond.
Allow me to bond with Yura,
Moessa demanded. Richter was exhausted after battling for almost an entire day, not to mention a forced run through the woods at night. He just waved away Moessa's bad manners and arrogant request. You'll come meet the queen. She will decide who is bonding to whom. Now come on. Richter walked to the quickening, Moessa continuing to speak in agitated tones behind him. Yura stayed in his hood as he ordered. As soon as the forest sprite saw the celestial tree, her mouth snapped shut. When she was under the actual leaves, a look of wonder crossed her face as the song of joy and remembrance took effect. Richter wasn't sure what her alignment was, but having between 5 and 15 characteristic points added to your stats all at once must have been astounding to the forest sprite either way. One odd thing was that the remaining sprite guard seemed to be glaring daggers at the forest sprite, but Moessa barely spared him a glance. She looked with interest at the silver shells around Sion and the sprite guard, but she fell to her knees in adoration when Alora and the other pixies flew down from the silver canopy above. Yura flew over to Alora. Mother and daughter held hands and placed their foreheads together while hovering in the air, while sparkling dust fell from their bodies to evaporate a moment later. They let go, and Alora flew to look at Richter.
Thank you for bringing my daughter and her Metu Maidan back safely, my lord.
Alora nodded to her daughter. The life pixie flew down to nestle inside of Moessa's hands. They touched foreheads, and a shell appeared around them. A prompt appeared in Richter's vision. Quest update. Fate's Companion 1. You have successfully brought 2 Metu Maidan together and enabled the formation of a Maidan. Continue to bring celestial pixies and sprites together. Each Maidan created gives the following rewards. Reward. You gain 100 XP per Maidan created. Reward. The leader of the group that brings a sprite safely to the quickening to form the Maidan gains 250 XP for each instance. Reward. The supporting group members that bring a sprite safely to the quickening to form the Maidan gave 100 XP for each instance. Richter checked and saw that he had indeed just gained 219 XP. It wasn't a lot, but by his guess, there were about 70 more pixies that were still waiting to bond. He didn't know why some of the other pixies weren't clamoring for their Metu Maidan. Maybe the sprite hadn't been born yet, or maybe they were just too far away, but there were still dozens of pixies waiting. This repeatable quest could be exactly what was needed to level his strike teams. He wanted to speak with Alora more and ask questions about her abilities and her people, but the long day of battles and stress had done him in. It was probably his imagination, but he thought he saw a blinking battery in the corner of his vision that didn't have any bars in it. Richter walked up to the trunk of the quickening and sat down with his back against it. Alma flew down to rest in his lap. In a few moments, The Lord of the Mist Village was sound asleep while glowing pixies pranced above his head. Chapter 31, Day 113, Qaborn 3, 15,368 EBG. The next few days fell into a routine. Periodically, one of the pixie children would get agitated and say that they felt their Maidon Maitu were close by. Then, either Richter would form his war party, or another strike team would venture out to find the sprite. There were occasionally monster attacks, and minor to moderate injuries, but nothing that the village healers couldn't handle. Without Sumiko, several guards were forced to rest in bed for days, but thankfully no one died. More and more Maidons appeared around the quickening until the area looked like a tiny silver egg forest. For some reason, no one else that Richter shared that observation with thought it was as clever as he did. That wasn't to say that his people weren't friendly. He actually noticed that since the birth of the pixies and the resultant relationship boost with everyone there, his people smiled at him even more than usual. The men were quicker to salute and the women were more free with their smiles. In a few cases, it was clear that they would have been free with a good deal more if Richter were interested. In general, his people just seemed happy and productive. It gave Richter a warm feeling as he patrolled every day and led more sprites to their pixie counterparts. Many of the sprites that arrived were of the forest subtype. One added perk was that many of them brought saplings or plants with them as gifts for their pixies. Many of the trees and herbs were rare. As such, they would hand over the trees before entering the Union. Richter had each planted somewhere along the empty eastern edge of the village. The Chaos Seed wasn't sure how the trees were going to help yet, but he was sure they would. Outside of retrieving the pixies as they entered the mists, Richter started following a pattern. His sustenance belt let him make do with only 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night. When he woke each morning, he would immediately start performing mental exercises with Alma for 2 or 3 hours. The advanced Psi Bond let him progress quickly, and after 4 days, he increased his rank in self-awareness from novice to initiate. Congratulations! You have advanced from novice to initiate in self-awareness. Control within will be mirrored by control without. 20% less likely to betray nonverbal cues to others. This is cumulative with further ranks. You have received 1,250 bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the skill Self-Awareness. They also worked on his mental barriers, which was unfortunately a slower process, but still beneficial. After meditating with her, Richter would go to the forge and start creating daggers. Again and again, he forged iron daggers, melted them down, created ingots, and then forged the daggers anew. His skill level increased to level 6 over the next few days. The time spent in the forge was more meaningful in that he was able to gain a new enchantment. Congratulations! You have reached skill level 6 in smithing. Plus 1% damage or defense. Plus 1% durability. Congratulations! You have learned the enchantment Life Damage. Life magic damage will be done to the enemy struck. A secondary enchantment makes healing spells and potions more effective on the wielder of the weapon. After that, Richter immediately began forging life daggers for all of his guards. All of his efforts only increased his movement to the next level of enchanting by 2%, but this was not a surprise. While his 100% affinity let him ghost through skill levels 1 through 10, he had found that his skill progression slowed substantially as he progressed to level 20 in some of his skills. He assumed that advancement would continue to be exponentially more difficult as he got into the higher levels. With his enchantment skill at level 48, it was basically at a crawl. He complained about it to Crom, and the smith said he didn't know about enchanting, but for his own smithing skill, he had to try new and harder projects to see a real boost to his progression. Richter nodded. The dwarf's reasoning made sense. It wasn't helpful, seeing as how he only knew a few enchantments, but it was always better to know. It also did not bother him overly much, and he just focused on practicing his profession. Just like with Freeze, the cost of the life enchantment was 1.5N. Luckily, there was no shortage of soul stones. The hunters continued to bring the stones in, but the main source was his own little predator, The village weavers had made a sack that was specially created for Alma to carry. It had a metal hook that allowed her to hang it securely from the branches of a high tree. Every night, Richter would fill the sack with empty soul stones. After the two of them were done with their mental training and he went to the forge, Alma would take the bag and go hunting. Though she only captured common souls or below, it made a difference. Also, not only did she often come back with 5 to 10 soul stones by lunch, but she was also making good use of her special attack, Brain Drain. Because of her efforts, the experience he had spent on talent points was slowly but steadily being replenished. After leaving the forge, he would head up to the meadow and do a quick lap. He would first stop at the cauldron and get some face time with Tabia and the other alchemists. Richter considered starting to train his alchemy skill, but he figured it wasn't the best use of his time. Next, he would make his way over to the Scath Clutch. After ensuring the eggs were healthy, he would finish his time in the meadow checking on the pixies. After he had left the meadow, he would go to the feast area. The tables had been brought back down from the quickening following the pixies' birth. Richter hadn't even needed to ask. Randolphus had simply organized a group of mist workers to carry the tables back down to the village. Some of the villagers had protested that they could no longer go into the meadow regularly, but Randolphus had squashed their complaints. He stated that entrance to the meadow was a special privilege, and only those who had sworn fealty would even be considered. This was further emphasized by the thick walls of marbled quartz that Roswan had started building at the top and bottom of the hill leading up to the meadow. Rather than angering the villagers, though, several bent the knee over the next few days. Each day after lunch, Richter would go hunting with his war party. One non-combatant was taken out with the hunting party each day, and 20% of the earned experience went their way. Richter always made sure to have a completely separate strike squad of 5 guards there to trail the main war party and keep the non-combatant safe. The daily fighting not only let him train his war leader skill, but it also let him get to know his guards better. The war party was truly large now that Tirad could command his own troops. It wasn't only the increased size of the party that made it more formidable than before. The scout, tank, and healer ability were just as amazing as he thought they would be. A hunter normally took the position of scout. One of the guards served as tank, and Richter was sure to include at least 2 life magi in each party, one of them serving in the official position of healer. The hunter and Richter led the war party and made use of their ability to highlight enemies in red. The job was amazingly easy as Alma helped to guide them. She normally had found a potential threat from her earlier hunts and pointed them in the right direction. With Richter's tracking skill, finding dangerous beasts or packs of monsters was almost too easy. Once Richter and the scout found their quarry, they would both let loose one arrow and then draw their prey back to the tank. After that, whatever they were hunting came to a swift end, and Alma normally delivered the coup de grace. The flow of dead animals and monsters ensured that his people had more than enough food, and the stack of tradable skins grew larger every day. Tabia also benefited from the continual flow of potion components. As often as not, curses could be heard coming from the dragon's cauldron, usually accompanied by smoke of various colors. Not all of her attempts at new potions worked out well, but since the building was still standing, Richter didn't interfere. The forays of the war party served one more purpose. Richter was also able to explore notable locations on his map and explore his realm. The next 2 interesting locations were thankfully not nearly as dangerous as the Decamer Knight's dungeon, but they still let him finish his 3rd village-spawned quest. The second location was a cave. It reached deep into a hill, and on the far back wall was a pictographic history. Many of the images were faded, but Richter was able to make out that it told the story of an old god or a devil. He wasn't able to be sure, but what was clear was that this had been a place of sacrifice. The walls showed humans, elves, goblins, and what he assumed were orcs having their hearts removed and then thrown down a hole. At the back of the cave was the pit that the pictures had shown. It was only a rough-hewn opening in the floor, but had been greeted with a prompt. You have found ancient dungeon. After he had seen that the pit was an entrance to a dungeon more than 10,000 years old, Richter had immediately started backing away. Almost as if to speed him on his journey, a gust of wind rose out of the hole and washed over the war party. It stank of fetid rot and decomposing flesh. Everyone in the cave had run out of it and